Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, Blog Talk Radio Land. Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat room where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You can find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us with your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send us a text message to ask questions or comments from our text message line, which is 567-259-6043. Also, like us on Facebook. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. Now tonight, we will be studying the book of Revelations. And as a footnote, I would like all of our listeners to know that all lessons and studies are taken from the Old King James Version of the Bible. Now this is an administrative note. Every 15 minutes, we will pause for Q&A. Questions and answers, and give us time to mature in getting this organized. But this is the intent. Now, here is the format, some of the key words that we will be looking at, stressing the spiritual versus the physical. Number two, identifying at least one instruction from every chapter from every book in the Bible. Number three, relating true and faithful sayings from non-traditional scriptures. Number four, drills associated with standing on the promises. Number five, engaging in Bible exercises. Number six, using the New Testament to substantiate the Old Testament. Number seven, using the Old Testament to substantiate the New Testament. Number eight, having open dialogue with listeners. Number nine, to be innovative and provocative. Now this, my listeners, are the program descriptions. Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, the Bible. The entire review of the 66 books of the canon according to Protestant authority using the Old King James Version. Point one. We will be reviewing every book in the Bible from Genesis through Revelations in the order established by me. Now, I won't be taking them chronologically in order, but as they suit the lesson that I'm teaching that particular night. Point two, identifying instructions from every chapter out of every book according to me. The instructions are the opinions of the teacher, meaning me, and can be added to or taken away from at the discretion of the listeners. Now, what I'm saying is there are many instructions. I'm only going to be sharing those that are pertinent to me in the lesson. And if you have something you can add to or take away from that, that is fine, because this is not absolute. This is a sharing of my understanding of the teaching. Point three. The instructions shall be matched to both the Old Testament and the New Testament scriptures to specify an exact relationship to the Testament and the scriptures. Jesus said that he came to fulfill and not to destroy. So the Psalms, the law, and the prophets is what he was directing that statement to. And if we cannot connect the Old Testament to the New Testament, in reverse, the New Testament to the Old Testament, then there is problems with our understanding of what the intended meaning is. Point four, to give personal interpretation of lessons by the instructor, me, which are open to dialogue by the listeners. Now, this is my interpretation. I'm sharing with what I understand, and I would love for those who are listening to dial in or log on and give me input so we can both learn together, because what I am giving you is what I am under inspiration to give. And, of course, we know the Bible can be interpreted so many different ways, and that's the point that I'm making. Now we're going to get into the lesson. We're going to be looking at the book of Revelations, and I consider it the fifth gospel. Now, the reason, give you some background, that I consider the book of Revelations the fifth gospel is because the gospel is good news. And in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels, more specifically in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus was standing around the temple, and his apostles asked him, when will the end come, and when would he return for them? And Jesus told them that no one knew that, not the angels, nor he himself, but the Father only who was in heaven. But when Jesus ascended into heaven, God gave him this understanding, and he sent it back to us in a revelation. So that is good news. That is the reason I'm starting with the book of Revelation, because we are in revelationary times. So let's get going. This instruction is taken from Revelations chapter 1, verse 1, and the instruction is identified as the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is what Revelations chapter 1 says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him when he had ascended and sat at the right hand of God, to show unto his servants us things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So that is the crux of the fifth gospel, as I see it, that this is the revelation of Jesus that God gave to him to give to us. And that's what he did. And it is identified in the last book of the Bible. Now, we know that the book of Revelations identifies the end. And we know that Genesis identifies the beginning. So the reason that Revelations would not fit behind the Gospel of John is because it's telling us about the end times. So now we're going to get the connection from the Old Testament that is relative to this revelation. We're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 and verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, and this is what Moses told Israel that God said. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15, and then verse 18. Verse 15 says, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto thee. Unto him ye shall hearken. That prophet, my listeners, my brothers and sisters, is Jesus Christ. Verse 18 says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And my brothers and sisters, the book of Revelations, the prophecy of Jesus Christ, is what we're talking about. So that's the connection of the Old Testament to this revelation. And that is the conclusion of the first instruction. If you have any input, get it to me and help me with my learning process to help edify me even more. I would appreciate that. Now we're going to go to instruction number two. Instruction number two is going to be taken from the book of Revelations, chapter 1, verse 8, 11, and 17. Now, this is the instruction, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. That's the instruction, and this is what Revelations chapter 1, verse 8 says about it. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Verse 11 says, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And verse 17 says this, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am the first and the last. Now, what's significant here is that the symbology in the book of Revelations, we are going to identify the Bible as a mystery. And in the mystery, there are proverbs, there are psalms, there are parables, there are prophecies, there are riddles, and there are symbolisms. And this symbolism, meaning the different churches that were identified for the Alpha and the Omega to speak this to, are us. And I will get into that more in detail. The symbolism is that it was identified in a parable, but the point is that we are the church. And so that is what this instruction is identifying, the beginning and the end of this existence. And we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 6 and 7. And in the book of Isaiah, it's going to give us a connection of this Alpha and Omega we're talking about. Isaiah chapter 45, and it's going to be verse 6 and verse 7. Now, again, when we're going from Old Testament, so the Old Testament is the glimpse of things to come. And so the New Testament tells us, as Jesus identified himself as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, and the first and the last. And this is what the Old Testament gives us a glimpse of this in a prophecy through Isaiah chapter 45, verse 6 and verse 7. And this is what Isaiah says. Isaiah says, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west, and there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light. I created darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. That is the summation of the instruction, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending, the first, and the last. Now we're going to go to instruction number three. We're going to be reading from the book of Revelation still, chapter 1, verse 18, and then we're going to go to chapter 3, verse 7. This is the instruction that we should look at while we are reading the text. The instruction, Jesus says, I have the keys to heaven, hell, and David. And this is what the book of Revelation says to that effect. Chapter 1, verse 18. This is what it says. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So we know that Jesus is the one that died on the cross for our salvation. And we know from the Catholic liturgy, in fact, it was written in one of the, it's in the canon of the Catholic Church, that Jesus Christ descended into heaven before he ascended and sat on the right hand of God. And he received the keys from hell and from death. And we're going to go now to Psalms 24 to get the glimpse of what the Old Testament wrote about this, that Jesus brings more light to us in the book of Revelations. We're going to Psalms 24, and we're going to be reading verse 1 and verse 7 through 10. Psalms 24 is where we're going to start, and this is what David said under inspiration. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Now, verse 7 says this, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah, or Selah. And the word means to pause and to consider and to think about it. So we know that from what David is inspirationally giving us, that Jesus Christ has descended into hell, and the doors had to be opened up so he could retrieve the keys of hell and of death. And now we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 22 to supplement this, to augment what the psalmist King David said. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 22, and we're going to be reading from verse 20 through 25. And this is how, under inspiration, the prophecy of Isaiah spoke of this same point. Isaiah 22, verse 20 through 25, it says, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulders, so he shall open and none shall shut. He shall shut and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. And that is telling us, my listeners and brothers and sisters, that Jesus was nailed to that cross, and he was taken down, and he resurrected and ascended into heaven. And even though Isaiah is identifying Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, that is representative of Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of David. So that is the connection to Jesus receiving the keys of heaven and hell and of David. And now we will go to the fourth instruction. And this instruction is taken from Revelation, chapter 1, verse 3. And this is the instruction. The instruction says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that heareth, and they that keep this prophecy. Revelations chapter 1, verse 3 says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that heareth the word of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. We are in the last times. This is so significant that if we are going to receive the blessing, and that is the understanding of what is to come in these 22 chapters, this is what the instruction is telling us to pay attention to. And now we're going to go to the Old Testament to get a glimpse of what God said about this thousands of years prior to Jesus revealing it to us. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 28. That's where we're going, to Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we're going to be reading verse 1 and verse 2, Deuteronomy 28. And this is what God is telling or giving a glimpse of the reference that we just made in Revelation. This is what the Bible says. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of thy Lord, thy God, to observe and to do all of his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So the blessing that comes along with hearing this word and reading this word and actually keeping this word was forecast back in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And of course, God said that those who diligently keep those things that are said and written therein will prosper. He will make them, he will set them on high above all nations. So this is the significance of this good news. And I, again, consider it the fifth gospel. Now we're going to go to the next instruction. And the next instruction is taken from Revelations chapter 1, verse 20. Revelations chapter 1, verse 20. And the instruction says this, my good brothers and sisters, all you listeners, this is the instruction. Stay in the spirit. Revelations chapter 1, verse 10 tells us to stay in the spirit. And this is what it says. It says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. My good brothers and sisters, all you listeners, if you are a born-again Christian, you have access and you should be involved in what is called the indwelling. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 23, that if you love me, Pete, you will keep my words and I will love him. And I will come and make my abode with him. That's what Jesus or God said, or Jesus said. So that is the indwelling that we're talking about in this particular revelation, this stay in the spirit. And what we're going to do is look at the characteristics that come with staying in the spirit. And it was given to us as a glimpse in the Old Testament. Okay, I was in the break. Oh, so what I'm going to do is, he didn't say anything. What I'm going to do is go to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, I was just notified that I may have talked through the break. And if I did, I beg your pardon.
Let's go ahead and take our short break.
Okay, that's what we're doing now.
So thank you for joining us on our Blog Talk Radio program. You can find us on blogtalkradio.com /hallelujah-Pete. You also can email us your questions or comments on our email, hallelujahpete@gmail.com. And you also may send us a text message with your comments or questions at 567-259-6043. And please like us on our Facebook page. And then also our all our programs are recorded, so you can re-listen to them again and again on the our Blog Talk Radio link.
Amen.
Now we're back.
Thank you. And
all right, Pete.
Thank
you.
Thank you, and welcome back. And of course, I would beg your pardon that you would give us, you know, time to massage program that we're involved in, and in time we'll work out the kinks and things will run much more smoothly. So what I'm going to do is go back to the last instruction that is identified in Revelations chapter 1, verse 10. And what the instruction says, stay in the Spirit. And that's what we want to make sure we maintain an understanding of what staying in the Spirit is. And this is what Revelations chapter 1, verse 10 says. It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And so the significance of being in the Spirit, as I mentioned earlier, that Jesus the Christ said in John chapter 15, verse 23, he says, if you love me, Pete, you will keep my words, and the Father will love you, and he and I will come and make our abode in you. And that is the indwelling. That is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost within you. In some texts, it calls it the unction. And that is something that we need to be aware of, that we should stay in the Spirit as much as we can. Now, in the Spirit, there are characteristics. And the characteristics were given in a glimpse in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah. And so we want to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 2. And we're going to see the attributes of the Holy Ghost, if you will, or the attributes of staying in the Spirit with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These are the characteristics that will come to be a part of who you are, to give you guides and direction. This is what Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Now, we know he was talking about Jesus Christ, but we are adopted sons, so we should be able to get some of this as far as I understand it. And so these are the characteristics that come with that Spirit, the Holy Ghost, resting upon you and me. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Those attributes are very significant, and more especially when we get into the study in the book of Isaiah, we will go into details on those. But this, for this point, staying in the Spirit will give us access to those characteristics, and those characteristics will give us what we need to get through this travesty of tribulations that we're going through, more especially today in this coronavirus environment. Now we're going to go to the next instruction. The next instruction is taken from Revelations, again, chapter 1. We're still in chapter 1, and we're going to go to verse 20. And this is significant. This is the instruction. The instruction, the mystery of the seven stars and the seven golden candlesticks. This is what Revelations chapter 1, verse 20 says. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. This is my understanding of that mystery, that we are body and soul. And the seven stars that are the angels of the seven churches is the soul within the body, which is the church. So that's the significance of what this is saying. So we are going to move forward with the understanding that the instructions to the churches are the instructions to us. And the angels that are responsible for the application of those instructions are us, the soul within the body. Now, to connect this mystery that has been identified in the book of Revelations, we're going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. And this is what the glimpse God gave us, or gave to the people of Israel and to anyone else at that time, of what was to come, that Jesus gave us more clarity on in the book of Revelations. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, and this is what it says: the secret belonged to the Lord our God. That's the mystery. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So the prophecy of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him as he sat on the right hand of God Almighty and he sent it back to give to us, is this significant. And that is why I consider it good news and the fifth gospel. Okay, we're going to go to the next instruction, and this is where it's going to get a more specific, because these instructions, which are seven, are directed at us as individuals. Now, again, the Bible is a mystery, and of course, it is built of prophecies and parables and symbolism, and this is why the symbolism in the book of Revelation is so significant, because of the end times and those who are not believers will not receive this. Remember what the Hebrew writer says: it's impossible to please God without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if you're just going to be casual about understanding the depth and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, you're not going to receive it unless you diligently seek him. And with these instructions, the symbolism is great, but we're going to talk about it. And again, I would love to have dialogue from any of those who are out there listening to send me some information on what they think and understand about what they've received in their study of these instructions. And that will add to my understanding, which I would appreciate. But we're going to now look at this instruction, and it is the Spirit. What the Spirit says to the church at Ephesus. And so we're going to be looking at Revelations chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. And again, as we read this, I will share my understanding of what the Spirit is saying to the church, meaning us at Ephesus. This is what it says, Revelations chapter 2, verse 1 through 7. It says, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, that means unto us, you and I, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Jesus Christ in John chapter 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the result of that, he created all things. So this is the walking in the midst of us, and we are the stars, are the ones responsible for this instruction to the church. Verse 2 says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and that thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. So we know that the works are important, and this is talking about what we have done so far in this experience we're having. But this is what verse 4 tells us. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Jesus says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. That is our first love. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the rest will be added unto you. The kingdom of God is God, Jehovah, and his righteousness is Jesus the Christ. So the first love is the Father. And verse 5 says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So the first works, I just mentioned it, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So that is what we must return to under repentance to get this, which the first instruction concludes. Now, verse 7 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So that is the intent of what we are supposed to reach out and appropriate. We are supposed to return to our first love, and we shall eat of the tree of life that is in the paradise of God. And this is where in the book, in the Old Testament, we'll get a glimpse of what God did because of our disobedience. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 through 9, this is what God said in the book of Genesis. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 7 through 9. And this is what it says. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So we understand that it's the soul that emanates the flesh. When God created man, he had to breathe this into his soul. And now we're in line for another break.
So if you would like a copy of Hallelujah Pete's instructions that he goes through our Bible lessons here, you can email us at hallelujahpete@gmail.com, and we will be happy to send you a copy of the instruction. Pete, we have a question from one of our listeners. In looking over the seven churches, how is the situation in America similar to each one?
Okay. Thank you for that question. Now, this is the significance. All of the questions are one question, or all of the instructions we should take as one instruction. And as we get through more of these instructions, you will see the significance of that, because all of the instructions tell us that it's our work that Jesus is aware of and knows. What is happening today is that we are not applying the instructions as revealed to Jesus to us that we must apply in order to receive the blessing of the understanding, or the blessing of the era that we're in. We're in the last times. And if we're going to be able to maneuver our way, for instance, in this COVID-19 coronavirus situation, we have to understand and apply what each instruction is telling us to do. And I hope that I answered that for you. If not, I will keep it in mind as we continue to go through these instructions. For instance, the first instruction. Now, we are going to put all seven instructions as one, okay? Now, once you start applying them, you'll see and understand better of what this means. The reason that they've been divided into seven is so that not just anyone can pick up this book casually and figure it out. You can't figure it out unless you seek diligently through faith God. Now, again, in this instruction to Ephesus, if you overcome making God your first love and seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, Jesus Christ, in order, then you're going to eat of the fruit of the tree of life that's in the paradise of God. The paradise we will get to in Revelation chapter 22. It tells us that there are 12 manner of fruit on this tree of life in paradise. And we know that nine manner of the 12 Paul identified in Galatians chapter 22 and 23. So if nothing else, we know that love, joy, peace, those attributes, if we want those, we have to adhere and obey what the Spirit is saying to the church at Ephesus in this instance. But of course, we're going to go all the way through Laodicea. So I'm trying to still keep in mind what the listener questioned, and hopefully I'm getting that answer to you. But to go back to the connection of the Spirit speaking to the church at Ephesus, I want to go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 through 9, and this is the glimpse that God gave us, or God gave the old folks in the Old Testament before Jesus revealed the details of what he gave. Now, this is what God said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 through 9. It says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, paradise, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Okay, the tree of life was there with the 12 manner of fruit, which we get from Revelations more in detail when we get around Revelation chapter 20, where that there are 12 manner of fruit, and we know that in Galatians chapter 22 and 23, Paul identified at least nine: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and the rest. And you can see from what God has written in the book of Genesis, we are to partake of that, and we could have partaken of that. But, of course, we know what happened in the garden. Now let's go to verse 16, and it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." So in the beginning, man could have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of everlasting life. But because of the circumstances, it did not happen. And now we're going to go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 22 and 24, and find out what happened. In chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 22 and 24, it says this: "And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, from paradise, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So we lost the privilege in Genesis, and now we have regained the privilege when Jesus ascended into heaven and sat at the right hand of God, and he sent that information back. I said, yes, now you can eat, Pete, of the fruit of the tree of life freely. And that is the significance of what the Spirit instructs at Ephesus. Now, remember that in one instruction is of seven instructions. And just like when Paul talked of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, it's three persons in one. So we have to realize that all seven of these instructions are one instruction, and it is identified to us to receive if, and help us get through what we're facing today, more especially in this world. So now we're going to go to the next instruction, and the next instruction is taken from Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 through 11. And this instruction, again, is what the Spirit says to the church at Smyrna. And this is how it reads. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 through 11. It says, "And unto the angel of the church at Smyrna write." That means unto us, my listeners and brothers and sisters. "These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is now alive." And that is Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of the Lord God Almighty in heaven. Verse 9, "I know thy works and tribulations and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan." So the works are very significant. In fact, when we get to the end of Revelations again, in around chapter 21 or 22, it's going to tell us that the judgment is going to open up books. And in those books, we are going to be accounted for according to our works. So, and we also know that Jesus tells us in the book of John that he has told us these things, that our peace, his peace, may remain in us, that we will have tribulations in this world, but be of good cheer, for he has overcome the world. So he's telling us that even though we are lacking in worldliness, we are bountiful in godliness because we are rich, and we are rich in the gifts and fruit of the Holy Ghost, to just name that aspect of the richness of God. Verse 10 says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulations 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." So that is what Jesus Christ brings to the table. He brings to the table faithfulness through repentance. Now, one time Jesus told those who were listening to him that you should be perfect as the Father is perfect in heaven. Now, again, that is a parable. That is not for those who are just surface level Christians. For we see that it's through faith and repentance that we gain the glory of God and entrance into heaven. And we should be thankful to God that that is the case. So when he says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer," he's talking about the physical things, because the fruit of the Holy Ghost, more especially the fruit of long suffering, gives us the endurance and the tenacity and the long suffering and forbearance, everything we need to get through what is besetting us this side of eternity. Verse 11 tells us, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. And I'm not sure that my listening audience realizes that there are two deaths. One is the physical death. The second is the spiritual death, or the separation from God, of God from us. Be that it may, this is what the Spirit is instructing us, that if we overcome and do all of what God has demanded us to do, that that second death shall be avoided. And we're going to go now and get a glimpse of what Isaiah, or what was said in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10 and verse 12, about this second death. This is the only other place that I know of in the Old Testament that allows us to understand that when God said in the book of Genesis, the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die, he was talking about a physical death and a spiritual death. So let's go to Isaiah, and we're going to go to chapter 53, and we're going to read verse 10 and then verse 12. And this is what it says. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And this is what verse 12 says. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Why? Because he has poured out his soul unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. See, that tells us right there that Jesus, he died spiritually for us, that we do not have to die spiritually. Jesus did not come back to save the flesh. He came back to save the soul, the spirit that God breathed life into. And that is what Isaiah is talking about in chapter 53, verse 10 and verse 12. So we can see again, the Spirit speaking to the church at Smyrna has given us more definitive information about what we must do. All of these seven instructions should be correlated. They should become one instruction. And the more that you study and apply these instructions, you will find out that they are one. And they will give you what the promise of the Spirit is that Jesus gave through this revelation. Now, to supplement what Isaiah said there about the soul dying, and Jesus did that for us, we're going to go to Psalms 56, verse 4, 11, and 13. And this is what David said under inspiration from God at that time. We're going to go to Psalms 56, and we're going to read verse 4, verse 11, and verse 13. And this is what the psalmist says. And I'll get there right now. The psalmist says in verse 4, he says, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Verse 11, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Verse 13, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, my soul from death. So I take that back what I told you earlier. I said only in the book of Isaiah that I saw that it identified the second death. The second death is also identified in this psalm. And 13 concludes, it says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? And again, the instruction here is saying, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. So it's the spiritual that we're focusing on and not the physical. And I see that my time is running out. And before it runs out, I wanted to give you some closing remarks. I have several instructions that are, I call them drills and exercises that I like to share with the audience. And what I'm going to do now is give you this instruction for tonight. So as we wind down from the evening's lesson, I want to remind you students and listeners to remember this, the great admonition from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, which reminds us, and it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto your fathers, and we are in that land, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Listen, my brothers and sisters, then be aware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Of course, he said that to Israel. But if, when we expand that as being the sons of the adoption, that is, don't forget God when we have received the good of this experience in land. And I would like to secondly give you this also before I conclude, the way that you may know that you are pleasing God. I see that my time has run out, so I'll have to give you that information some other time. But what is the crux of the matter is the gifts and fruit of the Holy Ghost. If you are abounding, Jesus says, hereby is my Father glorified, that you abound in the fruit of the Spirit. So if you are abounding in the gifts and fruits, just as identified by Paul, if none else, then you are knowing that you are pleasing God. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to my host, and I appreciate you're listening, and we will continue to do this because there are 66 books that are involved in this study, and hopefully we can stay on the air long enough to get through all of them. Okay, Chris, take it away.
Yes. Pete, I just wanted you to invite all the listeners to tune in next week, on next Wednesday, the 20th. From 7 to 8, we'll be having this program every Wednesday from 7 to 8. The same call-in number and or the blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-Pete. Or you can call the 516-387-1627. It's been a joy and an excitement to have everybody. If you do have any prayer requests, you can email us your prayer requests or your questions to hallelujahpete@gmail.com.
Amen. Yes.
Yes. So it's been a joy to be on tonight with you, Pete, and all the listeners. We appreciate you joining in.
Amen.